In 1942, Irene Sundler took on a daunting task. She lived in Warsaw, Poland, and it was becoming clear what Hitler and his armies were going to do to the Jews who lived in the Jewish ghetto there. Sundler realized that the Jewish children would be killed if they remained in their homes. She firmly believed that if she could just get them out and send them away, that they could be spared. But first, she had to convince the children's parents to hand over their children to a complete stranger, and that there might be a chance that they would never see each other again. As tensions grew and more Jews were being sent to the concentration camps, Sundler went door to door explaining her plan. She would take the children, and she would give them Christian names, and she would place them into the homes of Poles who lived outside of the ghetto, but they were willing to help. "Can you guarantee that they will live?" the parents asked. Sundler could only guarantee that they would die if they stayed. "Will we see them again?" the parents asked. Sundler could make no promises other than that she would give them the code name that she had given their children. And she promised that she would do all she could to reunite them. Appalled at the Nazi treatment of the Jews in Poland, Sundler was determined to do all that she could to help. Her father had always taught her that people make choices that can be either good or bad. Their race, religion, nationality has nothing to do with any of that. She held this at heart, and she felt that she had a choice to act. Sundler and others figured out ways to enter and exit the ghetto without being noticed. One of her favorite methods was to have the children taken out by ambulance. The Nazis feared that Jews harbored infectious diseases and they would never search the ambulances. Some children were tossed over the walls. Some were hidden in gunny sacks and body bags and even coffins. Once out, she placed them with willing families outside the ghetto. These families risked their lives, too, by harboring these Jewish children. She issued hundreds of false documents to help over 2,500 Jewish children escape with their lives. Sundler kept careful track of each child's original name and their new identity, and then she placed these records in jars that she buried underneath an apple tree in her neighbor's backyard, hoping someday she'd be able to return those children to their original families. Unfortunately, the Nazis discovered Sundler's underground work, and they had her arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. Her legs and her feet were broken. She would never walk again without crutches. Friends of her underground bribed the Nazi guards that held her and stole her away before she would have been killed. And to protect themselves, her Nazi guards listed Sundler as one of the executed. But after the war was over, she dug up those jars, and she used the notes to find 2,500 children that she had placed in those adoptive homes. Sadly, she found that most of the families had died in those death camps. But every one of the 2,500 children lived. In the year 2000, students at Union High School in Kansas wrote a play about her life called Life in a Jar. Her story goes on to have her being recognized by Pope John Paul II and to receive Poland's highest medal of honor. And she was even nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007, but unfortunately she did not win. After she was recognized for her heroism in the Polish papers, a man called her and he said, "I remember your face. When I was a little boy, it was you who got me out of the ghetto." She had many calls like that. Yet to her dying day, she didn't feel that she had done anything extraordinary. She felt that what she did was what anybody would have done. And yet, to you and me, as we hear this story today, she certainly was extraordinary. She was a hero. So we've been talking about heroes this month, and I can't help but wonder why we seek them out. What do they mean to us, and why do we even need them? As I read this story about Irene Sendler, something became clear to me. I believe we need heroes to help us find our way out of tragedy. We can look back at events like the Holocaust and then indeed find no way to make sense of the atrocities that occurred. But if we seek out the stories of Sendler or Schindler or Anne Frank or many of the others, and if we hold their stories up alongside the senseless murder and torture of so many Jews, we can somehow see hope within that atrocity. We can see that humans are not all evil, that love always conquers hate, and we can have hope again. Hope means that there can be redemption for us as people who make our own mistakes, for us who harm one another, and for those of us who lose our way. We humans are pretty complex creatures, aren't we? For sometimes I think we're pretty magical creatures. For it seems to me that even in our worst moments, we seem to have the opportunity to find someone or something that can give us hope or faith that we can carry on, that life is worth cherishing, and that can give us meaning. This realization, this opportunity to see the world differently, especially during times of tragedy, for me, is holy. Whether you believe in God or in the power of the universe itself, or even in humankind, these are sacred moments. I believe we have the opportunity for redemption and creating new meaning in our lives each and every day. Like our reading said, we are more than businessmen and women, stay-at-home parents, doctors or lawyers, mechanics or laborers or teachers. We are, in all reality, priests and prophets who carry on the torch of life, even in the darkness and out of the bleakness. Waking up each day and intentionally trying to do our best is heroic. I don't mean to belittle those who do great and bold things, but sometimes I know for most of us, even little things done well are heroic. Waking up and deciding to be there for our loved ones and families with our whole self is heroic. Working hard at a job that puts food on our table and keeps a roof over our heads is heroic. And like Gina Maria said, holding the hand of a friend who's in crisis or sick or dying is heroic. Don't you dare believe otherwise. At the beginning of our hero sermons, Roger reminded us that we all carry both original blessing and original sin within us. We've all been the hero and the villain in our lives at various points. What causes us to pick one action over the other? I suspect it's a multitude of things. Like Roger, I too believe that inner goodness resides in all of us, and I think we seek that out whenever possible. But when we're tired, or scared, or disrespected, or desperate, or surrounded by others who show indifference, it can be easier to turn a blind eye to injustice, to those who are hurting or those who are in need. Does that mean we're terrible people? Yes and no. It's important here to understand that we have a choice. Irene Sendler's father taught her that people make choices that can be either good or bad, and she made a choice in how she was going to act, and she had others who helped her in her mission. When I was an intern minister here a few years ago, I remember wise words from Reverend Dottie Matthews. Someone I knew needed help, and I stepped in up in ways that were probably good, but perhaps not very sustainable on my part. And Dottie called me on it. And then she invited me to consider that I was not the only one who could be of help. that there was an entire universe that wanted to love and support this person, and I needed to trust that as well. Believing in that trust sometimes requires us, and especially me, to step outside of our own areas of control and trust that others are just as kind and caring, and we need to reach out to others when we're feeling overwhelmed. Irene Sendler relied on other people in her community to help her sneak the Jewish children out of the ghetto. She relied on a multitude of Polish families who took in the Jewish children. If she had tried to do it all by herself, she never could have helped so many people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't have to help or that somebody else will step up. I'm not. But as I look out into this room, I know that deep in my heart that many of you spend most of your workday in nonprofits or in the caring or health professions or in classrooms, and you give so much of yourself on a daily basis. You are heroes. And I know it can be daunting, and sometimes it feels defeating. It often feels like there's too much to do to help those in need. And for me, when I have those feelings, it's time for me to reach out to others. Heroes know when to lead and when to let others lead. Our self-care can be just as important as caring for others. We all have the potential to be both the hero and the villain. And we make those choices and we sit on that edge almost every single day. How we feel about ourselves and what we're able to handle can definitely determine how we will be able to care for others. Heroes come in many forms and can be influenced by many sources. So who are your heroes? Psychologists Scott Anderson and George Goenthals asked a number of everyday people to list their top three heroes. Some of these will be familiar to you, but others that were listed were very personal and unknown. Consider their responses and their explanation for the people and their choices. Martin Luther King Jr. He used peaceful tactics to rally a good and necessary change in how we saw and embraced the rights and liberties of all people. Sue Stokes. A family friend who fought cancer for years, but she always had a positive, happy-go-lucky attitude about life, right up to her very death. Abraham Lincoln. He went against what others thought that he should do, and he believed in honoring all lives, no matter the color of their skin. Joan of Arc. She went against societal constraints to do what she wanted to do, even though she knew she would be killed for it. Uncle Jeff, a man of both physical and mental strength. He had been a wild youth, but then grew to become an amazing, loving adult husband and father. Mr. Milliken, a 12th grade science teacher. His wife passed away from cancer, but he was still able to teach and raise his young children with a smile on his face every single day. A little league baseball coach. He believed in me at an early age, and he gave lots of his personal time so that my dreams could come true. The heroes listed by these participants in the study followed a clear and concise pattern. Whether these heroes were rulers, leaders, teachers, parents, they were described as courageous, selfless, and skillful. Often in our world, tragedy begets heroism. The worst in human nature brings out the best in human nature. Slavery, the Holocaust, 9/11, war, natural disasters, Sandy Hook Elementary. Without tragedy, would we recognize heroes? I think that's an interesting question. It makes me think about how we cannot know joy without suffering. Would we know faith and hope if we did not know loss and despair? Would we not know heroes if we did not know villains? Does one bring out the other? The very same psychologists did another study in which they shared a different scenario. One told the story of a person who had made some pretty bad choices in their life, had done things that had harmed others and themselves. But then during a tragedy, they stepped up and they took responsibility in ways that helped multitudes of people. And then another story was shared where a person who had made fairly good choices and had done good things in their life had the same opportunity during a tragedy to step up and to help others, and they did. And then the folks in the study were asked, which hero do you like better? Almost unanimously, people chose the hero who had done some bad things in the past, but then stepped up and redeemed themselves. I found this interesting. And it made me wonder about another reason we may need the hero's story. I wonder, is it perhaps we hope that our own stories can be seen in this way? Perhaps we've not always been the best in every situation. But this type of hero, this one that's done some bad things in the past, offers us hope, too, that we can redeem ourselves by doing some things that are good. The most dominant feelings that heroes invoke in us are feelings of inspiration. When we see someone who we did not have faith in succeed, it provides us hope that perhaps we too can prevail in difficult circumstances. We see that we're not the only ones who struggle with the forces of good and evil in our lives, and perhaps we hope that we too can find redemption for our past mistakes and failures. For me, recognizing that we are both villain and hero opens me up to more compassion for others who may make decisions that I don't agree with. It reminds me that we can and we will have chances to redeem ourselves. As Americans, we seem to love the underdog, and we love second chances. We're ready to forgive almost anything if we feel someone is truly remorseful, and we root for them to try again, and if they're able to redeem themselves. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all individuals. But does this principle hold true for you when someone does something that's unspeakable? One of my UU seminary friends questioned the grief and loss of the family of the shooter at Sandy Hook Elementary. Can we extend the same compassion and love to his family for their loss as we extend it to the families of the children who were killed? These are challenging questions, ones that shake our faith and our beliefs. I would hope that we can find our way to still see the human qualities of the villain and understand that perhaps that could be us. Each time we're able to see the inherent worth and dignity of each individual, we make it possible for others to extend the same opportunity to be accepted and redeemed in our lives and within our own stories. I believe we need heroes in our lives to be able to tell our stories, especially the ones that are hard to tell. When we talk about 9/11, the horror of that day, it's lifted up by the heroic stories that also occurred, of men and women helping each other, carrying them out of collapsing buildings, risking their lives for one another. The heroic actions of those on Flight 93 gave comfort to their family and to our nation, that goodness prevails over terrorism. Our shared stories, our painful history, become easier to hold when we're able to see the courage and compassion, love, and support that also occurred at the very same time in the very same place. Hero stories remind us that we as humans can be redeemed every single day, maybe not just by us alone, but collectively, trusting in our inherent goodness. We can be builders of a beautiful home for humankind and crusaders for human loveliness, and that we have the opportunity to do that each and every day, again and again. May it be so.